digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Release the Centaurs here, and 200,000 people die.
We need access to the control room.
Jack, Virga will be ready to deploy any minute.
If we could ignite that gas before it leaves the plant, the Centaurs will be incinerated.
Virga!
Organize an escort team. You get him back to CTU alive.
You got it. I just got word from the FAA about a hijacking aboard a diplomatic flight.
So what?
Jack Bauer is the hijacker.
What is he doing on that flight?
He's looking for the recording that implicates me in David Palmer's death.
Order the plane down and grab Bauer before he can hurt us.
We need to take him down now, dead or alive.
Mr. President.
I don't care if Bauer's making threats or not. That plane has to land immediately. And when it lands, I want my Secret Service detail to take him into custody.
Sit down!
He has a gun!
Oh, my God, he's got a gun.
Everybody stay in your seats. Do what I tell you and no one will get hurt.
Captain, this is Jack Bauer. I'm speaking to you on a discreet channel. The person that I'm looking for, the man with the evidence that I need, is sitting next to you. He's your co-pilot, Scott Evans.
You need to open the door.
Could you, stick for a second?
I'm the only one who can fly this plane now!
Give me the recording. Advise CTU, I have the recording. I'll be on the ground in less than 15 minutes.
Bauer's got the evidence. He is in control of the plane.
What do we do?
You are going to have to shoot down that plane, Mr. President.
Otherwise, you go to prison.
Treason and murder.
The following takes place between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m.
Sierra Tango, clear to flight level 220, report reaching.
520 Sierra Tango, descend to flight level 220. We can expect the approach to Van Nuys.
Good.
Operation.
This is Jack Bauer. Can you patch me through to Karen Hayes?
Bleeding. I think he broke my nose.
He'll get medical attention as soon as we're on the ground. Right now, your only concern should be flying this plane.
I've got Jack Bauer on line one.
Put him through.
You are connected?
I've got the recording. It was on the co-pilot.
The co-pilot?
Yeah, he was working for Henderson. The captain's unconscious, but I've secured the co-pilot. We're en route back to Van Nuys Airfield. What's our ETA?
21 minutes.
We're gonna be on the ground in 21 minutes. Karen, listen to me. This recording proves that President Logan was complicit in David Palmer's assassination. It is imperative that we do not let it fall into the hands of anyone that is loyal to the president. As soon as we're on the ground, I'm going to need you to provide me with a safe corridor back to CTU.
Jack, it's Bill. I'm back here with Karen. I'll explain everything later. We can dispatch a team to meet you at the airfield. They can head off any law enforcement and take you into protective custody.
Okay, good. Bill, how is Audrey?
Curtis just brought her in. She's in medical getting treatment, but it looks like she's going to be okay.
Thank God. Okay, I'll get back to you as soon as we're on final approach.
All right.
Audrey sits up in a hospital bed by a drip stand. Curtis walks through the door, smiling.
Audrey, I just got off the phone with the County General. I have some great news. Your father survived the crash.
He's alive?
Yeah. One of our teams picked him up about 30 minutes ago at the accident site. He's still in ICU, but they expect him to pull through. We have a team stationed at the hospital. He'll be well protected.
Thank you.
I have to take this.
Curtis, thank you so much.
Welcome. Mrs. Manning.
Is Henderson secured?
He's in holding room 3.
Good. I need you to take a team to pick up Jack.
Where is he?
He's on a plane heading towards the Van Nuys airport. ETA is 20 minutes.
Why is he on a plane?
He had to commandeer the plane in order to secure the evidence against President Logan. I'll brief you with the details en route. Curtis,
I cannot emphasize strongly enough the explosive nature of the evidence that Jack is carrying. I need you to put him into protective custody and bring him back here to CTU.
Understood.
President Logan will probably send his men to retrieve it. You've got to get to Jack first.
We will. I'm heading out.
President Logan sits deep in thought.
Yes?
We have a solution that will allow you to order the plane shut down.
I sure as hell hope so. I may be the president, but there are certain protocols in place that I can't just ignore.
What we're proposing will circumvent your protocols.
What is it?
We're going to simulate a VCI distress signal. It will be broadcast on the plane's transponder code, and it will appear to come from Bauer's flight.
Hold on. What is a VCI distress signal?
It's an emergency signal indicating that there's a hijacking in progress and that the perpetrators intend to use the aircraft as a weapon. It'll give you the pretext to shoot it down. There really is no other legitimate response to this scenario, Mr. President. All you need to do is appear to struggle with the ethics and then give the order. Mr. President?
Fine. All right.
You sound reluctant.
I can't believe it's come to this. I'm going to shoot down a plane full of innocent people.
None of us is happy about this, Mr. President, but you don't really have a choice. Bauer has evidence implicating you in this conspiracy. And I don't have to tell you what the consequences will be for all of us if it's released.
Logan struggles to absorb this latest turn of events. He quietly closes his phone. End of part one.
We should contact Chloe and bring her in. We're going to want her help bringing Jack back to CTU.
Fine. Send an escort.
Kara, I appreciate this. I know you're putting everything on the line to help us.
All I can say is this recording better be everything Jack claims it is.
I know Jack. I don't always agree with his methods, but I trust his judgment. I'll go make a call.
What's going on? What's Buchanan doing out of holding?
The situation has changed, Miles. There's some new intel.
Well, I haven't seen anything but new intel.
Well, I don't have time to explain it right now.
What does that mean?
It means that I'll brief you when I've got the chance. Have you completed the orders for Bierko's transfer?
I'm still working on it.
Let me know when you've got them.
Papazian seethes. Mike Novick walks hurriedly through into Logan's office.
What is it, Mike?
A situation has come up regarding the hijacked plane.
Tell me what's happening.
The FAA just picked up a VCI distress code. It originated from flight ST-520.
What's a VCI distress code?
VCI is a coding system that was recently installed in all commercial airliners. This particular code indicates that a hijacking is underway and that the plane is going to be used to target installations on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Admiral Kirkland is standing by on video conference from Point Magoo. He's ready to brief you with the details.
Mike leads the president through into the briefing room and switches on the video conference link.
Admiral Kirkland, I'm Mike Novick. I have the president here.
Mr. President?
Admiral, Mike's told me about this VCI signal. How could that be sent without Bauer's knowledge?
Most likely one of the pilots under duress secretly activated the transponder code.
Let me get this straight. At last report, Bauer was in the passenger cabin. Does this mean that he's now in the cockpit and that he's in control of the plane?
It appears that way, sir.
What do we do, Admiral?
Sir, the protocols for this scenario are clearly specified. We're compelled to take preemptive action.
What action?
The aircraft must be shot down. We've already scrambled an F-18 out of Point Magoo. We just need your approval to engage.
There are over 50 people on that plane, Admiral.
We have to think of the people on the ground, Mr. President. Over 20 million citizens live in Los Angeles County. Each one of them is now a potential target.
I don't believe this.
Mr. President, if I can interject. Admiral, it's hard for me to accept that Bauer intends to use the aircraft as a weapon against civilians.
From my briefing document, Jack Bauer is a distraught individual with a history of erratic behavior.
Jack Bauer has spent his entire career protecting American lives. I mean, I think there's a reason he's doing what he's doing.
What would that be?
I don't have the answer, but we should at least try to find out.
We don't have the time.
Mr. President, we could have the F-18 shatter the aircraft. We could issue a standing order to fire only if the target deviates from its present course.
It's not a viable option, Mr. President.
Why not?
Right now, that plane is over the desert. In another 15 minutes, it'll be above Los Angeles. If we're forced to shoot it down, then there'll be massive casualties on the ground. And, Mr. President, we must also consider the possibility that Bauer intends to attack the presidential retreat.
The retreat?
You're inside the target zone. Bauer's already been accused of killing one president today. The simple fact is, sir, we don't know what his intentions are.
Mr. President.
Mike, stop.
I may
made my decision.
Admiral, I'm authorizing you to shoot down that plane.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, Mike, please. Don't make this any more difficult for me than it already is.
The plane's course is charted on an electronic screen at CTU. Bill and Karen Hayes work in the incident room. A young woman enters.
Miss Hayes, I just came in over the interagency subnet.
What is it?
Karen hands him the document.
We have to alert Jack.
Karen dials. 310, in the cockpit of the plane.
It's Bauer.
Jack, air traffic control just received a VCI distress signal from your aircraft. That effectively authorizes President Logan to shoot you down.
Shoot us down?
An F-18's been scrambled out of Point Magoo, Jack. You have 8 to 10 minutes at best.
Can you patch me through to the pilot of the F-18?
No chance. They're on a coded frequency. We can try to get in touch with the White House.
And tell them what? They don't want to hear anything I have to say. Hold on. We need to land this plane now.
We're 100 miles from the nearest airport.
They just scrambled an F-18 to shoot us out of the sky. We need to get on the ground now.
You didn't hear me. There's nowhere to land.
How much runway do you need?
At least 5,000 feet.
Bill, do you hear me?
Yeah, Jack.
I need you to look for a stretch of freeway at least 5,000 feet long, straight enough for us to land on.
I'll pull up maps in the area, Jack. It'll take me a few seconds.
Get back to me as soon as you've got something.
Can't land on the freeway.
Yes, we can. It's late. There's a curfew. There won't be any cars on the freeway. Cuff your right hand in flight control now.
The pilot takes the cuffs from Jack and attaches his own hands to the steering control.
All the way. Start taking us down.
Jack takes the captain's seat and levels his gun at the co-pilot.
Do it now.
316, CTU is a buzz of activity. The passengers on board the plane sit nervously in the cabin. The pilot sweats. Miles Papazian, beavering away self-righteously, turns sharply to see Chloe being escorted through CTU. A female colleague joins him.
What's Chloe O'Brien doing here?
I don't know.
Miss Hayes.
You can go. What's going on?
An F-18's been scrambled to shoot down Jack's plane.
Can you open up a socket with the ATC radar tracking plot?
Yeah, I think so.
Do it, Chloe.
We need to know the exact amount of time Jack has before the fighter plane reaches him.
Okay.
Karen, look at this. We have two possible landing sites. I think this one's the best shot.
I agree. Let's get Jack on the phone.
Jack emerges from the cockpit and addresses the stewardess.
I need to speak with you. We need to make an emergency landing. I want you to talk to your passengers and get them ready.
What's happening?
Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. Just get them ready.
Okay. Listen up, everybody. We're going to prepare for an emergency landing.
Bauer.
Jack, it's Bill. I think we found something.
Bill, hold on one sec. I want to put you on speakerphone. Go ahead.
It's a stretch of the 118 freeway between mile marker 91 and 92. It's about 4,000 feet, then there's an overpass.
That's not long enough.
It's the best we can do.
Copy that, Bill. Hold on. Give me a second. You can either try and land this plane on the freeway, or I will.
Give me the coordinates.
3450.2 north by 11030.4 west.
We need to know where that F-18 is.
Jack, it's Chloe. I'm working on it.
Manning.
We have the exact location where Jack's putting down.
Go ahead.
It's the 118 freeway between mile markers 91 and 92. He should be on the ground within minutes.
Copy. Redirecting. 118 freeway.
Yep.
318.
Mr. President, we're 5 minutes away. I'm patching us in directly. Pilot of the F-18.
Go ahead.
Bravo 1. Currently, you're on with the President and myself. Report status. My radar is locked on the target.
The pilot keys in coordinates. Novik and Logan look on anxiously. Chloe works at her laptop.
Okay, I've got the ATC radar plot. Put it on the main screen.
Jack, the F-18 is within 15 miles.
I'm not going to make it. It's going to be within the missile range in 2 minutes.
You're not descending fast enough.
If we increase the descent rate, we won't be able to pull out of the dive.
If we don't get on the ground before that F-18 reaches us, it's not going to matter. Descend now!
The pilot sends the plane into a steep dive towards the glittering lights below. In the cabin, the oxygen masks drop down.
Put the oxygen masks on!
charge has increased angle and rate of descent. 1 minute from missile lock.
Jack, they're almost within weapons range.
The aircraft can't take this. I have to pull up.
Not yet!
The pilot struggles with the controls. Chloe looks on grimly at the screen. The jet fighter is closing in. Jack scans the illuminated cityscape below.
I can see the freeway! Okay, level up now! Now!
The pilot's hands are straining at the controls.
We can't pull out of the dive! I need your help! Pull! Ground proximity alert!
20 seconds to missile lock. Target's at 1,000 feet and leveling.
Leveling?
Affirmative, sir.
What does that mean?
Target may be preparing to land. The objective seems to be the 118 freeway.
Lower the landing gear! We're going too fast!
Lower it!
Lowering his landing gear.
F-18's in range.
I have missile lock.
The aircraft is in a landing profile, sir. I recommend we abort.
What?
Parameters have changed, sir.
I want that plane shot down.
Sir.
Order your man to fire now!
Mr. President, Admiral Kirkland is right. The aircraft's not a threat. There's no reason to do this. I implore you to reconsider.
Sir, we have a lock. What are your orders?
Abort.
Yes, sir.
But if they don't land, I want you to shoot that plane down immediately.
Yes, Mr. President. Bravo 1, hold fire, I repeat, hold fire.
Copy base, Bravo 1, holding fire.
We have Marine units deployed in the area. I want them to cordon off the landing site and to apprehend Jack Bauer.
Yes, sir.
500 feet! We're not gonna make it.
Jack and the pilot struggle to keep the plane level. Curtis, driving with his team, sees the aircraft swoop low overhead.
CTU.
CTU.
Spotted the plane. They're coming in for a landing. We're heading towards them now.
I'm handing the controls back to you. Touch it down.
We're still going too fast.
Touch it down.
The pilot complies. The plane slams down onto the tarmac. In the cabin, pandemonium reigns. The F-18 wheels upwards and away. The pilot of the passenger jet wrestles with the controls as the tires screech and smoke on the tarmac of the freeway. The plane slews at speed towards a bridge spanning the road just a few hundred yards away. The pilot gets the plane on an even keel but is struggling desperately to slow it down before they hit the bridge. In the very nick of time, the plane slows to a halt. Jack breathes. The pilot seems to be in shock.
Bill, we made it. We're down on the ground.
Jack, we've redirected Curtis to your location. He should be there in a few minutes.
I'm just east of the Balboa overpass. Have him meet me there.
Send a secondary team to pick up the co-pilot.
Got it. Get out of there, Jack.
Everyone keep moving to the rear of the plane! Exit from the rear now!
Having shepherded the passengers towards the rear, Jack unlocks one of the emergency doors over the wing and exits, sliding down the wing and onto the ground. He runs energetically away from the aircraft. 3:23, end of part two. President Logan takes a call on his mobile.
You should have followed through, Mr. President. You should have ordered that pilot to fire.
They were landing on the freeway. I had no pretext to shoot them down. I had to abort.
It's going to be much harder to contain now, if not impossible. Bauer's on the ground.
He won't get far. Even before the plane touched down,
I ordered two battalions of Marines into the area.
They're cordoning off the landing site, even as we speak. Bauer has nowhere to run.
I hope you're right, Mr. President. This is our last chance if Bauer gets through.
I know. I know what's at stake, Graham.
get back to you as soon as I have any news.
Logan hangs up and stares into space, a lone figure in his den. 3:28. Police and emergency vehicles swarm the landing site. Jack, concealing himself behind a concrete pillar, pulls out his phone and dials. Curtis takes the call.
Yeah?
Curtis, it's Jack.
Go ahead.
The Marines are moving in. They're setting up a perimeter. Where are you?
We're approaching your position from the north.
Jack makes out Curtis's approaching headlights.
Okay, I got you. I'll meet you on the north side of the freeway.
Jack peers around the pillar. Helmeted Marines are hurrying the passengers off the plane at gunpoint. Jack legs it across the freeway, leaps over a low crash barrier and down a grassy bank. He steps up onto a large boulder and leaps nimbly over the chain-link perimeter fence. He crosses to Curtis's parked SUV and climbs on board.
They know I'm still in the area. We gotta get out of here now.
South of Barry. Move.
The driver powers away. Curtis, seated in the front, looks around nervously. Their path is suddenly blocked by Army Humvees.
Damn it. You're gonna have to try and talk your way through the roadblock.
Get your hands up!
Everybody in the vehicle, hands up!
Hands where we can see them.
Federal agents. Los Angeles counter-terrorist unit.
We've been given orders to detain everybody inside this perimeter.
We're all on the same team here, Commander. We're trying to apprehend the suspect who hijacked that plane.
Jack Bauer?
That's right. Now let us do our job.
I need to see individual IDs. I'm gonna call this in.
We don't have time for this, Commander. The longer we sit here, the better chance Bauer has of slipping through the net.
This will only take a few minutes.
A few minutes is all Bauer needs to escape. We're not prepared to let that happen. Now we're moving out. If you really want to fire on federal agents, that's your call.
Stand down.
Move out.
Stand down.
The SUV pulls away through the knot of military vehicles. Jack casts a look backwards as they go.
Head east for a while, then turn south.
Yes, sir.
Buchanan.
It's Curtis. We've got Jack
and we're headed back in.
Okay, Curtis. Marines are all over the place. Barely got past one of the patrols.
They must be taking direct orders from Logan. There's no other explanation.
We can't take the chance of running into any more of these patrols. We'll stick to the back streets.
Understood.
Hayes.
I want to know what's going on.
Miles, I told you I would tell you when I felt the time was right.
I'm sitting here watching you work with two people under arrest for aiding and abetting a federal fugitive. If you don't talk to me, I'll have to get my answers somewhere else.
I'll be right there.
You can't tell him.
I can't hold him off any longer.
You really think that's a good idea?
I have to trust him. He's been nothing but loyal. I probably shouldn't have kept him in the dark this long. I'll be right back.
Chloe casts a brittle look towards Bill before turning back to her screen. Karen leaves the incident room. Papazian sits at his desk, his face tense and resentful. 3:32. Karen comes to stand next to him.
I don't appreciate being threatened, Miles.
And I don't appreciate being shut out. We worked a lot of years together, Karen. And I have never wavered in my allegiance. I don't deserve this.
No, you don't. Come with me.
Karen moves off. Papazian gets up from his desk and follows. The female colleague who spoke to him earlier looks up with shrewd interest as the pair pass. Karen leads Miles through to one of the stark, ill-lit back corridors where they can be neither observed nor overheard.
Jack Bauer has acquired evidence implicating President Logan in David Palmer's death.
Have you seen this evidence?
No, but Bauer's bringing it here now.
What is it?
It's a recording of a conversation between the president and an accomplice.
But you haven't heard it?
No.
And that's what you're doing with Buchanan and O'Brien, covertly helping Bauer.
Yes. For the past 3 hours, President Logan has done everything in his power to keep Jack from getting back here alive.
You're working against the most powerful man in the world, and you haven't actually heard the evidence.
This is why I didn't talk to you, Miles.
Because you knew I'd talk you out of
it. Yes, I know what I'm doing is risky. If I am wrong, my career is over. I could be brought up on charges.
Not just your career, Karen.
I am doing this because I believe that Bauer is telling the truth.
But you don't know. Okay, okay. Let's say he is. Let's say that recording implicates Logan. Then what are you going to do? Are you going to arrest the President of the United States?
That will be up to the Attorney General.
You're depending on...
Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
You're ready to move, Bierko.
Thank you, I'll be right out.
The blonde colleague eyes Papazian inquisitively, then goes.
Look, I have to go over the transfer protocols. I know that what I'm asking from you is difficult. Everything rests with what's on that recording.
Tell me what you need.
Bauer will be here any minute. The best way for you to help me is to go back out there and keep things running smoothly.
All right.
Miles, it's imperative this stay between.
Papazian walks away with an enigmatic look. Karen breathes a sigh of relief and then moves off. Vladimir Bierko, his grim face swathed on one side with a bandage, is led through the corridors of CTU under heavy guard. 3:34. He is frog-marched through into another corridor. Karen Hayes holds up her hand to stop them.
Thank you.
We have a full tactical complement. Enhanced ordnance package, two-vehicle escort.
Vladimir Bierko, you're being transferred to a primary holding facility at our district headquarters. Let me know the second he arrives.
Understood. Let's move back.
As Bierko is manhandled away, he turns his head to face Karen Hayes and spits contemptuously onto the floor. Karen stands, arms folded, watching him go. Bierko, pinioned and shuffling on account of the chains around his ankles, is led at gunpoint through a maze of tunnels and into the rear of a waiting van. The driver, whose features are of an unmistakably Russian cast, looks around significantly as Bierko is loaded on. As Bierko sits on the bench in the rear of the van, he nods slowly to the driver, who acknowledges this and turns back.
Let's go.
Bierko and his guards are shut in. A powerful escort vehicle with flashing roof lights pulls away. The van follows. "3:40. Jack and Curtis drive together. Bill and Karen Hayes look grave. Logan clicks on the speakerphone.
Where the hell is Mike Novick?
He's on his way, sir.
You told me that 3 minutes ago.
Yes, sir.
Logan guiltily switches off the phone as he sees Mike approaching.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I was on the phone with Colonel Owens. He's the Marine field commander on the site.
Is Bauer in custody?
No, sir.
What happened?
As ordered, the Marines sealed off a 1 mile radius around the landing site. They've completed a sweep of the area. And it's Colonel Owens' estimation that Bauer is no longer inside the perimeter.
He got away?
It appears so, sir.
I can't believe this.
Now, Mr. President, it's only a matter of time before Bauer is apprehended.
Logan turns and gives Mike a charged look. Mike looks back at him expectantly. Logan turns and walks further into the shadows, his eyes blank with fear and self-doubt. Mike's eyes narrow.
Sir, are you all right?
Logan stands with his back to Mike, blinking almost as if in shock. Finally, he turns back.
Thank you, Mike. I need some time alone now.
Novick looks doubtfully at Logan but turns to leave as bid. Logan watches him go and then turns and moves towards his big desk within. "3:42. Logan flexes his fingers and then sits down at the desk. He pulls the blotter on which sits his ringing mobile towards him and eyes it strangely. He turns and stares off into the middle distance. At CTU, Karen and Bill greet Jack.
Jack, The Attorney General's on his way to his office right now. He'll be ready for a video conference in 10 minutes.
Okay, good. Chloe, I want you to prepare the recording for playback. I want you to clean it up and apply a digital signature so we can establish a chain of evidence.
Okay.
You need to work alone. I don't want anyone else near that recording. You don't ever let it out of your sight.
I won't.
You said I had 10 minutes. I'd like to see Audrey.
Of course. She's in medical.
Thank you.
Audrey sits up in her bed on the phone.
No, ma'am, he's still in ICU.
Well, when will I be able to speak with him?
I'm sorry, I really don't know.
All right, I understand. Well, just let him...
Audrey's attention is taken by Jack's appearing in the doorway. They exchange a loving look.
Can you please tell him that his daughter called and that she loves him very much?
Yes.
Thank you. It looks like my dad's gonna be all right.
Yeah, no, yeah.
He strokes her hair.
Oh, God, I'm so glad to see you.
Me too.
Jack kisses Audrey gently on the lips.
We did it. We got the evidence. The Attorney General's going to hear it.
So it's over.
Yeah. President Logan's going to pay for David Palmer's assassination.
Jack sits at her feet on the bed. She lies down and relaxes into the pillows as he strokes her left knee and calf. He gently kisses her knee. She smiles in blissful relief and gratitude. Logan sits at his desk, still staring into space. He seems to come to a decision, standing up and moving across to the bookshelf. He takes a small mahogany case and places it on his desk. Casting a glance towards the door, he sits down once again and picks up his mobile phone. He dials, his face now quite determined. 3:45, Graham sits in a club armchair, surrounded by his people.
Yes.
Graham.
I've been trying to reach you.
I know.
Bauer slipped through the cordon, didn't he?
Yes.
I've just been told that the Attorney General's office received a phone call from the director of CTU. I think it's fairly obvious. They're in possession of the recording. I think that phone call was about you.
I didn't expect it to happen so soon.
I am sorry, Charles. You don't deserve this.
Listen, Graham. Despite how things turned out, I still believe that we were in the right. I still believe that we acted in the best interests of the country.
And we have to keep putting the country's well-being ahead of our own.
The spectacle of a sitting president on trial for murder would be devastating.
Yes. Yes, it would. Aside from the psychological damage to the country, a trial would expose certain realities that should never see the light of day.
If only we could keep such a trial from taking place.
That thought occurred to me as well.
I'm glad we agree.
I want you to know I've taken steps to ensure that you and your associates won't be implicated in any of this.
I appreciate that, Charles. We all do.
Logan has opened the case, revealing a pistol.
There's nothing more to say. I'm going to hang up now. There are a few things I'd like to take care of.
Goodbye, Charles.
Goodbye, Graham.
Logan hangs up and reaches across for the shiny pistol. He pulls out the clip and checks that it is loaded. He snaps the magazine back into the butt. 3:47, end of part 3. Part 4, 3:51. Chloe works at the recording. Logan stares mournfully. Martha is draped on a sofa next to a bottle of wine, looking at the TV screen which shows footage of the candlelit vigil for David Palmer. Martha appears oblivious to the knocking. Logan peers around the door.
Martha, may I come in?
Now you want to talk?
Marty, please.
What do you want?
He shuts the door behind him and moves over to stand by Martha.
Something else you want to confess?
No.
He sits and gazes lovingly at Martha. She remains semi-catatonic.
I want to tell you how sorry I am for everything.
When you forget to give me something for my birthday, that's when you say you're sorry.
I know what I did was wrong. It was horribly wrong and unforgivable. I know that. But what I can't live with is the fact that I hurt you. That's the last thing I wanted to do. Marty. Marty, please. That's the truth.
She turns her gaze fully on him.
The truth. You know what really gets me, Charles?
What?
You had me going for so long. I had no idea you were such a good liar. If I wasn't so horrified by the fact that I'm married to you, I might actually be impressed.
Logan stares at her, wide-eyed at the enormity of what she has just said. Martha turns away again. Logan sits gazing at her, quite crestfallen and with tears brimming in his eyes. He turns and gets up. He moves to the door, effortfully, as if he has grown old in the preceding minutes. 3:55. With sad, downcast eyes, he moves back along the corridor. An aide holds open the door of his office. His eyes focus on his desk once again, and he moves through towards it. He sits, fixing his gaze on the mahogany box. He opens it swiftly. The heavy gun nestles ominously inside. Logan opens a drawer, gets out a half-full bottle of scotch and a glass, and eyes them doomily. He pours a modest measure, seems to hesitate momentarily, but then puts the cork back in the bottle, showing restraint even in such extreme circumstances. He replaces the bottle in the drawer. He lifts the glass, considers it a moment, and then drinks it down, grimacing at the kick. He puts down the glass and then reaches determinedly for the gun. He clasps the weapon in his right hand. He closes his eyes in exasperation. He eyes the intercom. His head sways in frustration.
Yes.
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir. I have an urgent call coming in from CTU.
I don't want to talk to anyone from CTU.
Jack Bauer.
Logan deliberates without great optimism.
Put him through.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, you're on with the president.
Mr. President?
Yes, go ahead.
You don't know me. My name is Miles Papazi, and I work under Karen Hayes.
What is this about?
It's about a recording, sir, that Jack Bauer has just delivered here to CTU. Sir, my understanding is it's a recording of a conversation of yours that, if leaked, could significantly compromise national security.
Go on.
My superior, Ms. Hayes, is working with Bauer and Bill Buchanan. Their intention is to play the recording for the Attorney General.
Why are you telling me this?
Because, sir, I feel compelled to intervene. And I just wanted to make sure that you would approve.
I do, Mr. Papazian. I do approve. Listen, I'm going to text you my private number. Let me know how it goes. And Miles, I promise you I won't forget this.
Thank you, sir. That's all I wanted to hear.
Mr. President, I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Papazian grins nauseatingly and heads off. 3:59. Logan hangs up, places the pistol back in its case, and closes the lid. Graham pours himself another drink from a decanter. Jack clasps Audrey's hand. Martha continues to lie on her couch. Papazian bustles through into the incident room where Chloe works at the main table.
Karen wants to know how long before the teleconference starts.
5 minutes. Get out of here, Miles.
We'll be ready?
Not if you keep interrupting me.
I'm just doing my job, Chloe.
Well, if your job is to slow things down, then you're doing really good work.
I'll tell Karen you'll be ready.
Thanks.
Chloe watches him go and then looks sharply down at the table. 4 a.m. The end.